everyone. Welcome to the next episode of the Stingers and Dingers podcast. This is the next episode in the course review series where I cover a club that I have recently played that I really want you guys to know about, or good or bad. This week we're going to cover a course that I was, I don't want to ruin it too much, but very, very pleased with, and that is Yokodehi Golf Club out in Brooks, California. So to kind of start off, I had heard about Yokodehi. You know, I'm in Northern California. I'm in San Francisco Bay Area. I had heard about this course for a while. It's a course that I had heard is just absolutely beautiful, kind of in the middle of nowhere. But you got to go out and play at some point. It's got to be on your list of things to play. And you know, a big part of my year this year was making sure that I got out to courses that I hadn't played. You know, trying to play 12 new courses this year, and this was going to be one of them. So figured out that Yokodehi was about an hour and a half drive away, you know, towards Sacramento area. So from Bay Area towards Sacramento, and asked my buddy Zach, who's another stick, probably a plus one or plus two, to come out with me. You know, we're both pretty solid players. I play to about a plus one. He's a little bit better than me. Probably plays closer to a plus two. Looking at the course, I wanted to take a look at what I was getting into, and I saw the first thing I saw was the yardage. So the back tee plays at 7,337, so 7,337 yards at a course rating of 75 and a slope of 144. So I knew I was in for a challenge, which I love, right? I think there are a lot of courses for you know, good golfers that sometimes don't play that challenging. Some of the shorter courses, I don't get to hit driver that much. I have to hit 5 iron off tee, and it's just sometimes it's not that fun for me. So I wanted to go out and really challenge myself. I was really looking forward to that. So before we get into what the course was like and everything, I kind of want to give you a little bit of background about the course itself. So the course itself was made by an architecture firm, and it is run by Troon Golf. So for those of you who don't know, Troon Golf is one of the biggest golf management companies in the world. They run over, I think it's like over 300 or 500 courses, private, public, and resort courses all around the country, Hawaii, you know, Phoenix, foreign countries, you name it, they probably have a course somewhere out there. So I knew it was going to be maintained very well. I've played some Troon courses before. They do a great job managing the courses. They have great greenskeepers, and was really looking forward to that piece. Now, Yokodehi also sounds like an interesting name. As you could probably guess, it is a Native American name. So it is a Native American tribe that that I think was in like the valley between Sacramento and the Bay Area, kind of close to Vacaville, if you know your kind of Bay Area geography. It is next to the Cache Creek Casino, so it is a casino resort course. That's also the reason why it's in the middle of nowhere. A lot of native reservations are out in the middle of nowhere. So that's why it was, you know, so far out and such a big drive. So looking at the course itself is challenging. It's 7,337. It's in the middle of nowhere and it looks pristine. I was trying to think why is this out here? And then I looked at the price. The price for my, you know, Sunday morning round, so like an 8 o'clock round. It wasn't even that early. It wasn't a special tee time on a Sunday in the end of summer. I think it was like early September when I played this round. Maybe a little bit later. Was $95. And I couldn't believe that price. And I was thinking, man, this all sounds so fantastic. Why would this be so cheap? And I realized it's a casino course. It's a resort course. They're trying to get people into the casino. They're not trying to make money on the course. They're trying to make money getting people to the casino. And I thought, oh my God, that is so incredibly smart, because if I, you know, was outside of a 3 hour range and wanted to stay here overnight, I could really only stay at that course, because there's really nothing around it besides the course. And then I would probably go down to the casino and I'd probably gamble. And I was like, oh, okay, interesting. But for people who are really close, it's a great opportunity to go play a great course at a great rate. So hopping into like my experience at the course as a whole. So driving there was like driving through the middle of nowhere. I mean, like I was on two different freeways, and I was on a couple side roads through some neighborhoods, and I finally drive past Cache Creek Casino, which is a nice resort, and it looks lovely, and you know, drive right past that and go behind it, and you go into this, you know, kind of canyon. And the first thing you see, you can't really even see the course when you get towards the clubhouse. You see a big parking lot, and then you see a lodge, what looks almost like kind of like a lodge you would see up at Yosemite or something like that from the front. And it looks like just a beautiful clubhouse. Dropped my bags off at Bag Drop. They asked what tee time we were. You know, we head into Pro Shop, which is one of the top pro shops I've seen and been to yet. Just their selection of gear and their overlook. You know, the back of the course was just absolutely gorgeous. And I'm thinking, man, this is like, I don't know what to expect walking out of this back room and onto the course. And, you know, greeted by a lovely attendant in the pro shop, paid for our round, and walked back out. And I think my buddy Zach was in the bathroom at this time. And so I walk outside and I just get hit by this beautiful wall of green everywhere. And I'm just looking at it, and it almost looks like a painting. It almost looks fake. I can't even begin to describe to you how it looks. You have to go there and see it. In an area that is typically brown and gray and, you know, yellow and burnt orange, like, and seeing this giant field of green was almost just off-putting. It just almost looked like it didn't belong. It was, like, planted there, which I guess technically it was. But looking at the course, I couldn't see anything wrong with it. There was no patches of grass that were missing. There was no, like, weird patches of grass that I could even see, like, that were off-colored. It just looks like it was a perfect golf course being ready for a PGA Tour event. So, I took 1,000 pictures, and if you look at my Instagram, t_buch, you'll see a couple of them, and you really have to look at the pictures and just take a look. And this isn't, like, you know, perfect condition, end of spring, beginning of summer. This is starting to get into the end of summer, early fall, when this thing should have baked out, hadn't had any rain in God knows how long, and should have been in tough shape, and it was just perfect. And I, you know, the second I'm sitting there for probably 5 minutes, my buddy Zach comes and goes, "Whoa." And just, you know, immediately does the same thing I did and just start taking pictures. And we just couldn't believe it. And so we were just, you know, obviously super excited to get out there. It is in the middle of a valley. So when we did get there, the entire golf course was covered in shadow, which made it a little bit cold in the morning, which is not a bad thing at all. But it definitely, like, made sure that there was a lot of cold when we got there before, you know, the sun started to peek over the hills. We got down to our carts and we wanted to get some time to practice. So we got there a little bit early. I think our tee time was actually 8:30. Was it 8:30? Yeah, it was 8:30. And then so we got there at 7:30, and you know, we had a good hour to practice. And so we drove up and hit balls off of this immaculate practice area into this great canyon, and it was awesome. You know, really nice fake grass tees. I think they had a grass tee, but they were working on, you know, renovating it, so we didn't get a hit off that, but, you know, the turf tee was still awesome. And then we went down to the putting green, and they had their own chipping green where you could chip from like 50 and 75 yards and in. It was just the practice facility was unbelievably fantastic. I could not say anything higher about it. It was awesome. Started to putt for a bit, and when we were putting, we realized, oh man, these greens are lightning fast. It's kind of that feeling you get when you play like a really tough course where you know that the green is probably a little bit damp, but you start to roll it and everything's going past, and you're like, oh man, once these greens aren't damp anymore, I'm gonna be in for it. And so we got to the tee, and the tee on number one is probably one of the best views of any first tee box I've ever played in my entire life. And I've played probably over 150 golf courses, and I can't think of many tee boxes that are one more intimidating but one more beautiful in my entire life. And I'm not going to go through the entire round, but I'll just leave you with this. So hole number one is a 450-yard par four, where you are probably 150 yards above the actual fairway. So you're hitting off of an elevated tee box into the fairway. And the cool thing about this tee box is that it's not like a typical, you know, black tee to white tee where there's a significant yardage difference. No, no, no. This tee was about 440 at the shortest, 450 at the back, but it changed your angle wherever you were. So the farther back you were on the tee box, the farther right you were as well. So I had to aim almost the fairway on the left of that tee and hit a fade back because that's the shot that it was aiming me at. So it was actually more of a challenging tee shot in terms of your angle, which I thought was a really good design choice, right? Because if you know you're not adding length to make it more difficult, you're adding kind of an element of like a non-straight on golf shot, which I really appreciated, and I think kind of lays into the session as a whole and the round as a whole and kind of the golf we played. To get into the architecture of the course, the architecture of the course is actually pretty interesting. So in terms of resort courses, most resort courses you'll play will be massively wide fairways, massively wide greens, not really much of a challenge. There'll be some bunkers that are more there to be pretty than anything else. The fairways were pretty wide, so I'm not going to say that they weren't. There were holes where you did have to hit really solid, tight tee shots, though. Just because that they were wide didn't mean that the holes weren't very long and that if you didn't go off the fairway, you weren't in the shit. Excuse my language. The hard part about the course in itself that really was that made sense to me as I was like starting to play it was a positioning golf course. So wide fairways, wide greens, but the greens were incredibly fast, and if you're on the wrong side of the hole, you are dead. You know, there's a little chance of getting up and down, and so you really needed to really choose your shots carefully. You know, just from the tee box, being able to hit it, like let's say there the pin was tucked left. That means you needed to hit your tee shot to the right side of the fairway and leave yourself a uphill putt to even have a chance at it. There were multiple times in this round where I thought I hit a good drive and a good second shot and ended up on a side ridge where, you know, there was a ridge between me and the hole that went up and then back down. And I had a 20-foot putt and I ended up having like a 7-foot comebacker. And that's just the type of course this place is. It makes you have to think your way around the golf course, not in terms of having to be a crazy good ball striker, but okay, I need to be below the hole here. I need to guarantee myself a shot at this putt. So I'm going to club down on purpose or, you know, choke up a little bit on a 5-iron to myself below that. So positioning was huge. And then on top of that, because the positioning was so huge, you had no excuse because the greens were perfect. I didn't have a putt the entire day that I hit where I'm like, well, I hit a bump and, you know, that's probably why I missed it. There was no excuse. Every single putt I hit, I either hit it online, I didn't hit it online, it went in the hole or didn't go in the hole. And that's what was so impressive about this course is I felt like it was fair in that regard of every putt I hit, I felt like I had a chance at if I hit it well and online. The greens were big enough to where I could hit them and not in like weird, tricky positions. And there's no gimmicks, right? There was no gimmicks to this course. I didn't have to, you know, hit this like really narrow 5-foot wide span of green to get out to this like island section that goes out into this water. No, it was, if there was water, it was along the entire side of the green and the pin was alongside it. But if you were short or long, you were fine. If you were right, you were dead. So it made you think, okay, I need to set up and aim more left here and play away from the water. That is just solid course design. There was no gimmicks. I felt like it was all fair. And I can't emphasize that enough. It was 73-37 and I felt like it was a fair course the entire way. I shot 75, so I shot at the course rating for scratch, which was 75, and I left a couple shots out there, and I knew if I had gone back the next time, I probably could have shot a couple shots better. And that's what makes me want to go back there. It's, yeah, the course is beautiful. Yeah, it's in great shape, but each hole was different. I felt like I was challenged, but it wasn't unfair, and I think that is the biggest piece for me when I go to courses is I don't want it to be gimmicky. If I find that it's gimmicky, I don't want to play there anymore. And that's the big piece because I'm not a bad golfer. I can go and shoot par pretty much anywhere. But if I just because I shoot 2-under somewhere, if it's a gimmicky course, and I didn't enjoy it. I'm not going to want to go back. And yeah, I shot 75 here, which is above my handicap. But like, I want to go back here and play that again because I felt like it was a great challenge of my skills. It was in great shape and it was fair. So I can't recommend the architecture enough. And you know, to top off that entire round, the service was fantastic. You know, there was a cart person coming around delivering, you know, whatever you needed. Each hole, because it's really hot out there during the summer, every two holes, there's free water bottles out there to keep you hydrated. There's a person waiting with a cold towel at the end, you know, asking about your round. It was all just a fantastic experience, you know, from the second I got out of my car the second I got back in it. I could not recommend it enough. So if you are, you know, Sacramento, Northern California, Bay Area, Yokodahi Golf Club in Brooks, California, highly, highly recommend it. And let me know how you like it if you go out and play it. You know, I want you guys to go, if you play these courses, to let me know what you thought of it and if my reviews are fair. But yeah, this has been my review of Yokodahi Golf Club. Go out and play it. Definitely worth the price. Definitely a great architecture experience. And then definitely just in unbelievable shape. If you liked this, please leave a review for me on iTunes. It'll definitely help me out a whole bunch, you know, to get the word out. And then feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at Stingers and Dingers, and then also via email if you have any questions as well, stingersanddingerspod@gmail.com. And I'll see you guys on the next review. Peace.